This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Big shakeup at the top of the mock draft world. Thank God we have Drew Doherty out here doing the Lord's work, collecting collecting all 56 accredited mock drafts. Who are they accredited by? The Mock Draft Bureau of Payne and Pendergast and Drew Doherty. Yeah. 56 mock drafts. For those of you who have not seen this before, you can find it. Drew Doherty, who writes for the Texans, it's on HoustonTexans.com. He rounds up all the mock drafts. There's more and more as draft season rolls on. He's up to 56 of them that he's put into the mix here. And it's pretty simple. He looks and sees who all 56 of these people have the Texans taking at 25th overall. And it's the idea is that it gives you a direction as to where the Texans might be going with that pick. And it feels like one of the two names that's tied at the top here, Seth, both Ohio State guys, worth noting, both played with C.J. Stroud at one point. But of the two names, there is one that has seemed to have popped up ever since the Laramie Tunsil trade. And maybe it simmers down now that they've signed Cam Robinson for a year. Who knows? But Josh Simmons and Emeka Ebuka, wide receiver, are the leaders. They are the Texan selection in 11 of these 56 mock drafts.
This is really interesting, because if you just take these two players, if you have to choose between Ebuka and Simmons, Ebuka is not as electrifyingly athletic as a lot of the other wide receivers that might be available at 25. Locally, Matthew Golden would be the name that most people would point to. But he is off the charts in the Will Anderson personality side of things.
Yeah.
People at Ohio State gush about him the way people at Alabama gushed about Will Anderson when it came to the leadership side of things, his core constitution. He is that guy. He's also probably more pro-ready mentally than a lot of other prospects at wide receiver. Ohio State does a lot more stuff that translates to the NFL in terms of reading coverages, adjusting routes, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So all that. But then on the other side of the spectrum, you have Josh Simmons, who really he does some really impressive things athletically and physically that look like, okay, this is a guy that could adapt to the NFL really well. And yet he also has, at the very least, Todd McShay says there might be maturity issues. I always take those with a huge grain of salt, because you don't know exactly how that gets filtered through and what it means. Sometimes guys had maturity issues 2 years ago, and then Ryan Day has some conversations with him, and kind of like C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud will credit Ryan Day for really helping his maturation process. So that's where it all depends on what D'Amico Ryans really feels about Josh Simmons, and if there are indeed any actual maturity issues, what type were they?
Yeah.
Because sometimes maturity issues can mean a million different things. Sometimes it can mean that, oh, the guy's just a jerk. Sometimes there's nothing you can do about that. Other times it's that, yeah, he was a kid. He maybe had different expectations about showing up on time and everything that they gave him a talking to, and he fixed it.
Yeah.
You flat out don't know. That's where D'Amico's ability to maybe kind of get a feel for a guy, and then what does C.J. Stroud feel about him? What does C.J. Stroud have a ringing endorsement for him? I have no idea. So for me, if the Texans decide that he's swarm worthy, then okay, cool. I trust their assessment. Then the huge question is, he's coming off a torn patellar tendon, and that is a dicey, dicey injury.
Yeah.
When it comes to NFL players in general, it's not it's still kind of like Achilles tendon tears used to be. It's hit or miss sometimes how well a guy comes back from a patellar tendon tear.
I'm way more concerned. If they were to draft Josh Simmons, I would not be as over the moon as I would over some of the other prospects because of what you just said about the... It's way more about the patellar tendon thing to me than the maturity stuff. Look, 18 and 19-year-olds in general have maturity issues. You know what I'm saying?
So,
and the other thing about the maturity thing with McShay and him reporting that, not that McShay is very plugged in. I believe that. But with something like that, unless he heard that from six people...
Yeah.
If he just heard it from one person, then I take that with a grain of salt. I always take something with a grain of salt that's told by somebody through a one-person filter. I need to know more about that person. I need to know as much about that person as I do about Josh Simmons. You know, what's their definition of maturity? What exactly was it about Simmons? What did he do? Was it something specific? Was it a vibe that that was pervasive throughout? Or was it a specific incident? I need to know more about that. So the maturity thing, I'm totally with you on the maturity thing. Okay, what exactly was it? And the trust that D'Amico and Nick are going to vet that part of it properly.
I don't think after they swap Laremy Tunsil out and for... a multitude of reasons, as it always is with these things. Yeah. But Laremy Tunsil was not as great as he is as a pass protector. He doesn't have that swarm mentality necessarily. He doesn't really like to practice all that often. All those things. I don't think the Texans take Josh Simmons unless they 100% aren't worried about Josh Simmons' maturity.
Yes.
Or anything on the off-field side of things. So I'd be okay with that part. But yeah, I'm going to be really nervous, especially because... they drafted Kenyon Green when Kenyon Green was injured and then went on to have multiple injury issues for several years. Simmons says he's going to do his pro day, which has got to be coming up here very quickly, right?
Yeah, it's got to be.
And a lot of people are wondering, okay, I don't know if that's that smart a thing to do. But if he looks awesome at his pro day, that's a pretty positive sign.
Very.
That could be a huge swinger in some of the mock drafts if he shows up and looks like he was never injured at all at his pro day. Because it would also suggest that, hey, the guy must have attacked his rehab pretty well.
Yep.
Whatever maturity concerns anybody might have, man, he's ahead of schedule on his patellar tendon surgery.
Attacked his rehab well, which would be a very mature thing to do. Yes.
Yes.
No question. So Ibuka, 11 mocks. Josh Simmons, 11 mocks in the mock draft roundup out of 56. Next on the list, pretty big drop-off after those two. The next up is 6 mocks for the former leader of this exercise. Mock draft roundup 3.0 had Tyler Booker of Alabama. I'm guessing, without looking at all these mock drafts, because Drew just lists the 56 mock drafts with who they have the Texans taking. You know, there's no way, unless you click on all of them, there's no way to tell who all got picked from 1 through 32. I'm guessing that the reason that the number of times Tyler Booker is getting mocked to the Texans has decreased has nothing to do with a negative about Tyler Booker. It's actually the opposite. I'm guessing he seems to be going a lot higher in these drafts than he was before.
He didn't work out well, but I think people worry less about that, the overall athleticism for guards than they do tackles.
Yeah.
I guess the question just is also, if he didn't have a great workout and he plays a position that you usually only draft a guard in the top 15 if you really slam dunk feel awesome about that dude. Yeah. I think there's still a chance that he's close to 25, but probably with the athletic reservations and everything, I think they probably, so people look at him as like somewhere 15 through 20, he'll be gone.
Yeah.
And then it's a question of, okay, do the Texans like him as much to where he becomes kind of a muted version of Will Anderson because he comes from Alabama, because they look at him at Alabama like a guy that, man, really sets the tone from a leadership standpoint and everything. Do the Texans feel that it's justified to jump up a few spots to get Tyler Booker?
Okay, let's pretend for a second that they stay at 25. And let's also pretend that any concerns over Josh Simmons' maturity and his knee have been addressed. They're comfortable with Josh Simmons physically and emotionally as a prospect. And we know they're probably comfortable with Tyler Booker on all those things. Who would you take? A healthy Josh Simmons and Tyler Booker if you were the Texans?
Oh, Tyler, I would take Tyler Booker.
You would take Tyler Booker still?
Yeah, I think that's healthy, 100% healthy.
Healthy,
Josh
Simmons. That's what I'm saying. Like Josh Simmons, to me, until we know more about that knee, I'm not. He would be an off the board for me until I'm comfortable with the knee. But let's pretend that he's draftable and he's healthy. And they've brought him in for a 30 visit, and they've sat across the table from him. They've looked him in the eye. He's interacted with his new teammates in the cafeteria, and they're comfortable with all that good stuff, the same way they would be with Tyler Booker. Who does general manager Seth Payne take?
I'm general manager Seth Payne, who's much more short-sighted than general manager Nick Caserio. Mm-hmm. And Tyler Booker primarily has played left guard. He's played some right guard, but in the short term, I almost feel like, I want the best possible offensive line in year one, which is the dumbest reason to draft somebody. I think Josh Simmons would have a chance to actually start at left tackle and maybe end up being better than Cam Robinson as a left tackle. Mm-hmm. So, and that is a big franchise swinging move. I take Josh Simmons.
Okay.
With all the concerns about his patellar tendon. Because even if he looks healthy at his pro day, that's not the same as playing week in and week out at it. It also, now it helps too that Josh Simmons, it was his left knee,
which
matters because your power leg as a left tackle is your right leg.
Okay.
So I'm a little bit less concerned about it. I'm taking Josh Simmons in that scenario.
You swerved me a little bit. I thought when you were kind of mentioning right guard for Tyler Booker, I thought you were going to go, well, you could plug him in at right guard right away. Plug and play kind of thing. So you swerved
me. I swerved myself. That's what you get with Seth Payne as the general manager. It really inspires confidence in your staff when there's 5 minutes left on the clock and I'm saying, boy, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you.
Eenie, meenie, miney, mo.
I'm really feeling Tyler Booker here, but, oh, I start pulling a Tony Romo.
Jimmy!
Josh Simmons. Go Josh Simmons.
Matthew Golden and Kelvin Banks, 5 mocks apiece. Matthew Golden's the one I'm talking myself into. I'm talking myself into the excitement of shiny new toys with the 25th overall pick.
And speed. Unadulterated speed.
That's it, man. Yes.
Yeah, I think he just ran did he run a 4.30? Whatever it was.
He ran
fast. It was an impressive number.
Yeah, he ran fast.
I like the unadulterated speed. The Ohio State Pro Day, by the way, is March 26th.
Okay.
So with Josh Simmons, if he works out at his Pro Day and looks really good. I looked and searched, and this I got frustrated. I wanted to know whether it was a partial patellar tendon tear or a full tear and only because I've got experience with having a partial patellar tendon tear. Mm-hmm. It was a pain in the ass, but it was a relatively simple recovery. We've seen Yordan Alvarez had 2 partial tears, and he's come back, and he's done pretty well for himself as a professional athlete.
Say so.
It's so hard to find complete information because you've still got NFL I still see actual professional writers out there saying he suffered an ACL last year.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah.
It's not an ACL. Yeah.
It's a big difference, man.
Big difference.
The pro day, the March 26th pro day, which would end up being what, Tuesday or Wednesday of next week?
Yeah, that would be the 28th is Friday, so it'd be Wednesday next week. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Wednesday next week. Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer, text line. Good morning, guys. I asked my Jaguars friend, it says no one's perfect, about Cam Robinson, and he said, get used to penalties and get used to post-game fit posts on Instagram. I looked it up, and he was close to Tunsil and penalties. I guess this can be more tolerable when he's not the captain of the team and the highest paid player dictating the culture of the line, but I've not heard anyone mention this. Thoughts?
Thank you. Very good point there. I didn't know about the Instagram post-game fit stuff because, that's something that does not resonate well in the fan base, especially after losses. He's not a good run blocker either. I feel like they kind of swapped out for a less expensive version of Laremy Tunsil in a lot of ways. He's not nearly as good as Laremy Tunsil, the sum total of it. But he's on a 1-year deal. And there's nothing about Cam Robinson right now that screams, oh yeah, this is the guy that they replaced Laremy Tunsil with.
No,
they want to go into the draft without feeling overly panicked about any deficits on their roster.
Yep.
And I think by and large they've done that pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
You'd like to go into the draft feeling that even subconsciously you don't feel like you might press or push to get a guy to fill a hole, because you know that you know how much randomness there is in the draft. If you're an actual GM that's been doing it for a while, you don't think that, oh yeah, I'm going to draft a guy and he's going to be a day one starter for the next 10 years. There's just too much randomness to it. And I think that's what Cam Robinson is. You go into the draft thinking, all right, we've got options here. If we had to, Tytus Howard could play left tackle. Tytus Howard can play guard. We got to hope that Blake Fisher develops, but we've got at least three viable offensive tackles. So that's what I'm looking at Cam Robinson right now. Don't write his name in ink at left tackle. There's a chance that I think it's most likely that it'll be him day one, but there's also a good chance that it'll be a first-round draft pick. There's a chance it could be Blake Fisher. There's a chance it could be Tytus Howard.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's penned in for anything yet on the line this year, for sure. All right, we're off and running here on a Friday. Good to be with you. Appreciate you joining us here on Payne and Pendergast Sports Radio 610. Headlines are up next. Got a couple Astro headlines. Rockets going for 9 in a row, and day one of the tournament is in the books. The Cougs smoked them yesterday. We'll get to that coming up next in headlines. Stay there.